Good afternoon from the American state of North Carolina. It's not my home state, that's Florida, but this is the state where I became a Christian just weeks after beginning university. I matriculated at Duke University in 1977, and I'm here doing a teaching weekend. Well, we're almost at the end of our series. This is the end of Jesus's words, and we're going to be looking at a parable he told. And then in the final installment, we'll be looking at the reaction of others and even looking at our own hearts. What is our response to these words? It's called the storm. You'll see why. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. The master of the parable drives home his point with a parable. It's a parable of the builders, the foolish builder, the wise builder. See, it's not enough just to hear. Jesus begins, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man. It's not enough to hear. We need to do them. We need to obey. You'll find similar passages in the letter of James, James 1, 22 to 25. Or in the Old Testament, look at the last paragraph in Ezekiel 33, very powerful passage, how our tendency at church is to come and listen and then comment on the quality of what we hear. But will we listen, even if we're positive about the message, will we actually put it into practice? Will we obey? The rock here in the story is bedrock. There's a similar version of this. Jesus probably used this many times, but in Luke 6, we read this. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, but could not shake it. And clearly this is talking about us, our lives, our spiritual lives. And it makes me think of not houses I've built. I've never built a house, but I pitched a good few tents in my 5 years with the Boy Scouts. We had weekly camping trips, plus all summer long. So I spent many weeks, many months in tents. And sometimes it was easy. We put the tent in the right place, hammered in the tent stakes, used the ropes, laid down our ground cloths, and everything was okay. But sometimes I wasn't so wise. I remember once pitching my tent in sand. Well, you had to do sand because we were at a beach. But between the wind and the sand, it was a miserable night. Or I think of another time where I wisely pitched my tent in the place where all the water would accumulate with the rain. So I didn't sleep that night, and I just gave up trying to sleep once there was, this much water in the tent. Everything was soaked. I just totally gave up. Not very wise. Well, we're talking about something more significant than camping. We're talking about our lives. See, the foolish, lazy man simply built on top of the dirt or sand, whatever was easy, but without any foundation. Now, ultimately, of course, it's the Lord who builds the house. I know that. Some of you are thinking, Douglas, Psalm 127, verse 1. Yeah, I know Psalm 127, 1. The Lord doesn't build it, the builders labor in vain. And that's a similar point, but not quite the same. The words that Jesus refers to, I think, refer to everything he said so far in these chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Like what? Well, will you allow me to review it quickly? And I will leave some things out, but words like, we are blessed. Let's appreciate. Let's internalize the Beatitudes. We are salt and light. So let's live that way. We must do better than modern day Pharisees, churchgoers, leaders. We are to deal seriously with anger, lust, and other sins. When we speak, we should have integrity, whether it's in the marriage vows we've made or simply, being men and women of our word. We are to love our enemies, despite the resistance that will come from our nation, and even, sadly, from the majority of religious people when you start talking that way. We are to strive for maturity, perfection, and thus reflect the Father's holiness. We're not to show off our religiosity, but conduct ourselves modestly in our faith. Our true treasure is in heaven, not sunk in worldly treasures. We're not to judge hypocritically. Let's work on me before we correct him or her. Jesus calls us to expect and believe that God is generous, and that generosity should be reflected in us as we treat others as we would like to be treated. We are to stay on the narrow road and resist those who try to talk us out of it, who broaden the path by diluting God's commands, maybe using the same words, singing the same hymns, but with an expectation that's worthy of the false prophets, not the true. For the Lord expects obedience, not lip service. This weekend, I was teaching a group of singles, and the first 2 hours was Sermon on the Mount. They wanted me to cover the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you cannot really do that in 2 hours, but I went through chapters 5, 6, 7 under 7 different headings. We talked about character. In short, what is described in the Beatitudes, that's the character of Christ, and that's who we are. God's concerned with who we are deep inside and how that influences others. Are we salt? Are we light? But character. Then we looked at holiness. Yes, the law is good, but not if it's misinterpreted. And those 6 areas that Jesus takes us through, anger, lust, divorce, oaths, non-retaliation, and love for enemies. That was the area of holiness. Then in chapter 6, we talked about authenticity, not faking it. But if we're praying or fasting or giving money to the poor, it's genuine. We don't just do it to be seen by others. And then faith. Not to put our faith in money and mammon, not to be anxious about such things, but to trust God who will meet our needs. And that's what the second half of chapter 6 was about. Then chapter 7, I taught under the heading of grace, that is not being judgmental and being good to others, you know, the golden rule idea. Hard truths, the truths like the narrow road and the fact that the false prophets will always outnumber the true prophets. And we may be in shock at Judgment Day. I mean, we need to obey the word, not just use religious language like Lord, Lord. And conviction. Well, it was the last heading. Having a conviction that these things are true. Building on the word of God. It was a pleasure to teach these things. Well, in the parable, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house. We may be tempted to water this down and say, well, it's just talking about the trials of life. Surely at Judgment Day, we'll all be fine because we believe in Christ. Well, okay, that's creative. In a way, surely there are certain storms in our lives, financial storms. It might be relational disappointment, some terrible sickness. Hey, there may be lots of valid applications of this scripture. The time of testing may not come during our lifetime. Some people seem to have a pretty easy life. Of course, nothing tests our faith like opposition, unpopularity, mockery, being excluded, being victimized by the unjust. And all of these things could be trials and storms. But ultimately, Jesus is referring also to the day of judgment, because the previous passage that we looked at last time is the scene where these religious people who have done quite a bit are rudely awakened to find that the relationship they thought they had with God was largely a figment of their imagination. If this is similar in a way to the parable of the soils, parable of the sower, which we find in Matthew 13, where one thing that clearly reveals the depth and quality of our faith is persecution. Who's a fair weather friend? Who sticks through it and who leaves when the going gets tough? I'd like to share the words of Origen, who lived in the late 2nd century up to the mid 3rd century. He said, "Long ago, we heard the words of Jesus, and it has already been a great while since we became disciples of the gospel, and all of us have built ourselves a house. The present persecution will reveal whether we have built upon the rock by digging deep or upon the sand without a foundation. For winter has come, bringing rains and floods and winds." That's from a document of Origen called Exhortation to Martyrdom. Origen's own father was martyred back in the year 202. And Origen himself was imprisoned and tortured in the Decian persecution around the year 250. And he was released after the torture and imprisonment, but he died just a few years later. I'm not doubting his orthodoxy, his heart, and I think his exposition here of this passage, what he refers to, is exactly right. We need to be willing to build on the rock and be prepared for the storms. And the storms may come in forms we have never imagined. So how are we doing? What's your foundation like? How am I digging into the Word? Am I really digging into the Word? Is the Word of God what I build my life on? The Scripture urges us to consistently think about God's Word. For example, in Proverbs 8, it talks about how good it is to have all the words of God ready on your lips. Or Psalm 1, about daily meditating on God's Word. God's words to Joshua in Joshua 1 are similar. And His rules for the king in Deuteronomy 17 are even stronger. How's our foundation? Are we consistent? And are we sharing? I view myself not just as a repository for knowledge. Douglas reads all these books, attends all these conferences, has all this information. I mean, yeah, sometimes I am putting a lot of information in my head. I understand that. But I view myself more as a channel. Through my work, I want the Word of God to come to others. There's really no point in me just learning if there's no practical benefit. Excuse me. Drop my notes. No, I view myself as a channel, and I hope you will too. Not a channel to the dead. This is not, something New Age or occult. But we're channels that God will use so that people will see the light of God. They'll see Christ in me. They'll understand God's Word through the way I live and the things I've said. I think that's the idea. Building on the rock by hearing and obeying, well, that is what Jesus is talking about here. And yet, even if we do build on the rock, notice that doesn't prevent us, exempt us, from the storms. The storms will still come. So even if you're a faithful Christian, loving God's Word, internalizing it, it doesn't mean that you'll be spared from the storms. Rather, it means that we will be able to withstand them. We'll still be standing. We'll still keep the faith. The last message is called Wow, and that I will do when I get back to Edinburgh on the final two verses in the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for listening.